The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to the Absolutely Not Podcast, where we do the most and the least at the same damn time. I'm your host, Heather McMahon.
Zachariah, I need you to know, I'm not going to call you Zachary, because right out the jump, I asked you, I was like, you go by Zachariah, Zach, and you're like, just don't fucking call me Zachary.
Yeah, and then you followed up with, oh, I'll call you Trish.
I'll call you Trish.
But I would have loved you to call me Trish. Call me Trish right now.
Can I tell you, my alter ego's Trish. She's just like she's a country gal who rips menthols. And, you know, she probably did a lot of shoplifting at one point.
So
heart of gold, though.
Like if you go back 5 years ago, I was still ripping menthols and I still was shoplifting. I've grown from that. I'll still have a cigarette once in a while. It's like, whatever happened to smoking? Truly.
Whatever happened to smoking? Can I tell you right now? And I'm sorry. I need to apologize. I'm a little raspy today. We did a big celebration after Madison Square Garden last night and we went to the duplex. And the next thing you know, the fog machine was so fucking intense. It feels like I smacked a poke. I can't even talk. Smoked a pack of cigarettes. I just had a stroke live on air. Like all of a sudden, the fog machine would just engulf us. And we asked the bartender at the duplex, we're like, can you please crack a window? We're fucking dying in here. He's like, not possible. So I sound like I was smoking. I wasn't, but I love a vacation cigarette. I love a celebration cig.
Yeah, I quit 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I still vape. So does it even count at that point?
No. And here's the thing, vaping's worse.
Yeah.
I think medically and statistically, they say vaping's like, you get popcorn lung.
My boyfriend says that cigarettes are the acoustic and the vape is the electric.
So
now I've just switched from acoustic to electric cigarettes. But no, I do enjoy a cigarette. I used to work in restaurants and I feel like anyone who's ever worked in a restaurant, that's where I picked. I actually started smoking to impress a boy. And
really?
Then at 10 years later, I was like, wait, I'm not even with him anymore. That's how it all started for me.
Now, what kind of cigarette were you smoking?
A menthol light, menthol light.
Oh my God, you are white trash in the best way.
A white cigarette from like start to tip or whatever, tip to the end. I think that's a classy look.
Now, I like a long Capri, the really skinny. Like when I'm in Italy, I get the long, skinny, like bullshit kind of 1960s cigarettes. I love those. But a menthol is just, a menthol hits. I mean, you feel that like, quote unquote, fiberglass just go right into your lungs. I can't handle menthols now.
Have you had a Camel Crush?
Have I had a Camel Crush? Bitch, I went to school in Mississippi. I used to smoke P-Funks. I used to smoke all of it, okay?
Popping that little menthol pill though.
Oh my God. What a release. And then you light it and you're like, I am king of the world. Yeah.
So yeah, I would smoke cigarettes and then I was an active shoplifter for many years.
Really?
It was like a real addiction for me, a thrill.
Uh-huh.
The biggest thing I ever shoplifted. And what's the statute of limitations on shoplifting?
I don't know. Just don't tell the stories you stole from.
So yeah, I was at a theme park and I stole a prop that was of a mythical thing.
Okay.
Right up the sleeve.
Right up the sleeve.
It was $70. Why did I steal that?
I don't know. Did you get a rush from it?
I did.
Okay.
I was really broke for a long time.
Okay.
Thank God not any longer. Like the credit score is up, the bills are paid.
And why were we broke? The restaurant, were we not working at the thriving restaurant? Because I worked every restaurant job you can imagine. So I've been there. I have been broke.
I did not come from any money at all. My parents have always been like struggling. We weren't like poor, but when college came, like there was no money to give me anything.
Mm-hmm.
Student loans I couldn't apply for because my dad still owed money to the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not eligible for like FAFSA or whatever. But if they can't get a tax return, but if your dad doesn't file taxes, then you can't get any money for school. And then I tell my mother about this and she's like, this is a sore subject. I'm like, this is my life.
Yeah, this is actually my life. I can't get an education because you're afraid to just call, like, you know, just to turn your funds into the IRS. I can't form a sentence. What was I trying to say? HR block. You wouldn't just show up to an HR block and pay the $40 an hour to get the fucking taxes done.
Can you believe
that? And now I can't get an education.
So all that to say is I moved out at 18 and I love my parents. They're good. They have no financial literacy and that's okay. So I went to like a state school and I moved out and I worked at an Olive Garden for 5 years.
Yeah.
Loved it, made great friends. And then when I graduated like with a degree in marketing, I absolutely hated it. I was just jumping job to job, kind of just figuring out if I could even do this long term. And I always just, I don't know, I didn't like having a boss. I didn't feel creative. So I went back to serving because I love serving.
I thrived. I love a restaurant biz. Well, you're in comedy. It's the same hours.
Yes, yes.
Okay? You're clocking in at 4. You're walking out at midnight. It's fast-paced energy.
Cash in hand.
It's a automatic, you know whether or not, like, you're getting the feedback immediately.
Yes, yes.
You know once you touch that table whether they like you, whether you have, you know, a connection, if there's chemistry. It's the same high. It's the same addiction as probably doing stand-up as working in a restaurant.
I wasn't doing this now. I would still be at restaurants. But I did that after I left college. I started doing that again when I was still working these marketing jobs. I was like, well, let me just kind of like balance it all. And then I was working at a nonprofit.
Which is, they're all scams, I'm pretty sure.
They're all scams. And I was working on the fundraising portion of it. So when you see where the money is going into salaries versus the actual...
saving the children.
Saving the children. I was like, this is just like so shitty. It's so scummy. And I also don't feel any fulfillment in this. And I'd rather just be serving and figuring it all out. So in doing that, the pandemic hit. And that's when my comedy kind of took off.
Because you were forced to sit at home with these deep, dark thoughts and sit on your back porch and crush camels. and then be like, all right, I'm going to go put this stuff up on TikTok. Listen, I found you on TikTok because your characters are so fucking funny.
Thank you.
And you're so great. And I just adored it. It was so fresh. And I just thought, I think you're just a doll. I really do.
Thank you.
And you're so talented. So what was kind of like the launch what was the first video that really took it to the next level for you?
Back in the day, I was doing mom characters then too, but they were very different. I wasn't on camera. I was just like shooting at like a Target and like doing product kind of like, I don't know, like stream of consciousness jokes. But those kind of took off. And then I kept developing with like cooking videos. And now I'm back doing more character work. I think like the way to stay on the internet relevant is just like keep developing what you're doing and not being stuck in something. But I always love character work. I'm really inspired by women always. I'm gay, so I've always gravitated towards women, but I grew up around insane women in the best way possible.
Same.
So all these kind of voices that come in these stories, they're all from a place of some sort of reality.
Right.
Obviously you heighten, but I love like the female impersonation. It's not really drag, but for me, it's kind of like my comedic version of drag.
Yeah.
My therapist once said, because it was so weird, because when your therapist knows that you're on the internet, but plays coy in those first couple sessions.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I actually have seen you before. He's like, I love that it's so butch. I love that you just don't shave the face the whole way down. I was like, well, that was never the intention. But
yeah, you're like, I just threw on a wig. Like, I didn't have time. I'm outside of a TJ Maxx right now. And I know that they're going to catch me for shoplifting. So I just got to get this wig on real quick and shoot my content.
For the record, legally, the shoplifting ended 5 years ago.
Mm.
That's how. Do you know that when you shoplift from a place like Target, they won't get you for the petty stuff? They build a case until you're at that level of a felony, and then they target you with all the receipts from all the trips you stole from.
Really?
Guys, seriously, don't not a joke anymore. Seriously, they're watching.
Can I tell you, I don't know what this says about me personally.
I want to hear it.
I think I could probably like harm someone physically before I could shoplift. Really? I've never stolen. Not a piece of candy, nothing. I am a goody two shoes with that shit, but I think that one day this dull rage will just burn a fiery furnace through my heart and I'll end up stabbing someone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Do you have any like training fighting? Have you ever taken like a boxing
class?
I've
never done any training, but I did a lot of Tai Bo as a kid because my mom made me do the videos because I was very fat. So my mom was, when everybody else was like, you know, having a play date, I was in the basement doing fucking Tai Bo and I have a wild high kick. So I do think that I would like thrive with Krav Maga, jiu-jitsu, something like that. I think I would actually really be dialed into.
You got to be careful right now. Have you seen what's going on in New York?
The fuck? So for people who don't know, these girls who've been walking around, I think pretty much the neighborhood of Chelsea and like Flatiron, they've been just getting punched in the face, like sucker punched.
Yeah, like socked. Like one girl, she had such an egg on her head. People in the comments were just shouting hematoma, hematoma.
Yeah, and she went to the hospital and it was a hematoma.
It was a hematoma.
And I don't know if it's the same guy. I don't know if it's multiple guys. And this has started a trend for like sickos to punch women.
It's got to be that first incident had to be the same person because it was all happening like the same day.
Yeah.
That cannot be random people. That must have been like one targeted man.
And I love that like when other ethnicities were getting punched, it was like we started a whole campaign, but white girls on TikTok are getting punched. And there's no like stop blonde girl hate. You know what I mean? They're like, nobody is like fighting for our lives over here.
It is sad. Everyone stopped and listened. No, but sometimes, I don't know, you know, you were in New York for so long. Are you still here actively? No.
No, I live in Atlanta now, but I'm back and forth. So when I come here, I like hit the ground running. I fucking do it. But it's nice to like leave and then go back to my saltwater pool. Yeah. You know,
I am. See, I've only been here for 2 years, but I am such a suburb person.
Yeah.
I say this all the time. Like, I love a drive-thru. I love my car.
Yeah.
This place can eat you alive. Even like last night, it was like a 45-minute subway trip back and forth. The energy shifts at every stop.
Yeah.
It's getting spooky. It's getting silly. It's getting funny. And then I'm getting sad. Every stop is a different level. But we're having a good time.
It's an emotional roller coaster. And you're like trying not to get stabbed.
Truly.
When we lived here, my husband, one day, he ran out early in the morning and he came back. And I've never been afraid of New York. I really have never. I've lived here on and off for years and years. And he was like, you're never getting on the subway. I said, what just happened? He said, I just saw a man with a machete get on the same car as me. And thank God a cop saw it, but nobody was going to do anything. He's like, you will never get on the subway unless I am with you. And I was like, all right, Zaddy, I won't. But
your Ty Bo would have came in handy though.
Yeah, but I think though, and I said, I told my girls yesterday, I was like, I swear to God, if somebody fucking comes for me in the street, I don't know why. I'm happy. I'm not in an angry place, but I do think that I could brawl. Like, I think if somebody came up to us on the street, I could fucking fight for us.
Well, yeah. And I'd be cheering you on the
Thank
side.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Then you'd be stealing all the shit from the bodega while people watched. I've got a new thing for you to turn into, and I'm talking about the Vanderpump Villa. This is a fun new reality series from the one and only Lisa Vanderpump. Lisa Vanderpump has a new home on Hulu. It's an escape to the French countryside. This series offers first-class luxury and, honey, world-class drama. Lisa's staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. At the heart of the series is the staff, a group of attractive and opinionated team members who all have a unique, or lack thereof, expertise that have entered the villa to work, play, and clash under the same roof as their guests. This series will chronicle their day-to-day lives as they strive for Lisa's approval and the villa's success. Living and working together 24 hours a day will serve as the catalyst for the interpersonal drama that will ensue. Conflict is obviously bound to unfold as friendships are formed, romances are sparked, and the group is pushed to their emotional limits to satisfy the guest and the desire of every whim of every guest. I mean, listen, Lisa Vanderpump's as real as it gets, and I trust any show that she's putting out there. Here's the deal. You can watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday now on Hulu. Again, you can watch Vanderpump Villa on Hulu. You're going to love it. Anything by Lisa Vanderpump's, it's iconic. She makes the best television in the game. So you better check out Vanderpump Villa Monday now on Hulu. Listen, there's nothing more annoying in this world when you're trying to buy game time tickets, okay? And you can't find last minute tickets, or there weren't any good deals, or you don't know if it's like a shady ticket. Well, you shouldn't have to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, and views from your seat with their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying the ticket. I love that you can have a view from your seat, so you know exactly what you're looking at. You know exactly what's going to be in front of you. I love that. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code ABSOLUTELY for $20 off your first purchase. I mean, listen, there's a lot of stuff this summer as the weather starts to turn and it's going to get nice. I'm taking the summer off from tour. I'm going to be at concerts. I'm going to be taking my top off, feeling the vibe, and doing the damn thing. So I cannot wait to find all those good concerts, and I'm going to buy my tickets through Game Time. Listen, they've got great last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last-minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, etc. They've got zone deals. They have all-in pricing and the lowest price guarantee. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code ABSOLUTELY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code. I'm going to spell this one out for you. It's ABSOLUTELY for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's get back. We're going to get into your highly successful career and you're just up on the rise. But let's get back to like these survival jobs of restaurants, because I think that it builds so much fucking character. Zach, yeah. I've told people for years, I think how other societies and countries make you serve in the army for a year when you're 18. I think you should have to work some sort of hospitality job. I think it is the most character building thing you can ever do.
I've also met some of the best people I've ever met in my entire life.
Absolutely.
I've had the funniest stories from it. The cash is incredible. You're really sacrificing your like weekends and holidays to do it. But you become like a family with the people you work with. And you either love it, you hate it. Like my boyfriend all the time, he's always like, I don't think I could ever do it. And I love him to death. He's definitely giving host material. He's not giving service.
Oh.
So there's different like levels to it. Mm-hmm. Do you know I bartended for a little bit too? So bad at it. Like,
really?
Which is, I thought they'd be very like similar. I think it's way more intense bartending. I one time made a margarita for a woman and she took a sip of it at the bar I was working at. And she said, this is the worst drink I've ever had in my entire life. I'm gagged. I'm like, whoa, first of all, relax. That was a blackberry margarita. Can't be that bad. And I was like, oh my God, can I make you something else? She said, no, I'll just have water. Sat there for an hour. I'm like, should I just quit?
You ruined her buzz. It was so bad. She said, I would rather not even just drink sheer lighter fluid. I'm just going to drink water. Wow.
Yeah, no, yeah. And that was a sign. I was like, let me just keep trying with this. But no, bartending wasn't my jam. I'm definitely a server. I like to be able to leave the table, hide in the walk-in, flirt with somebody, steal some ham,
get back on the floor. There was nothing worse when you get yelled at because like you're coming through the pass and you're like wolfing down some truffle fries and your manager's yelling at you like, don't eat on the floor. And you're like, Mark, I'm fucking starving. Nothing worse.
Nothing worse. We had the best bread ever at this restaurant we're at called Joe's. And they had like these like soup canisters too. So I'd be like sopping up tomato, basil and bread. Yeah. Like triple sad. I'm like, let's fucking do it. Let's go for it.
Yeah. You're fighting for your life. You're trying to get crumbs at any turn. You're starving. You're on your feet. Mm. I mean, what kind of shoes would you wear when you were serving?
They used to give us those fancy booklets that came into the restaurant. I bought one. Those shoes I broke in like 6 months. They were just like holes in them. I would get Walmart shoes on repeat every four months or so because they were $20. I'd just flip them.
Yeah.
Were you a clog girl?
I was not a clog girl. Okay. Because I'm a heavy set gal. So in the clog, you hear me thumping. It sounds like a fucking bull in a china shop.
I got you.
Okay. I didn't need to like already, I mean, I already had big tits coming to your table going 100 miles an hour. I used to wear Crocs. They made these cute Mary Jane Crocs. Okay. I worked in like fine dining. So I would get these cute things. You couldn't even tell they were Crocs and they were the fucking comfiest shoes. When I was working behind the bar, when I would like hose things down, they'd get wet and then it would just be like wet, squishy Crocs behind the bar. But I loved them. I loved them.
I did a fine dining summer one time. It was a summer gig and it was all outdoor. Mm-hmm. It was like aprons from like the waist to the ankle.
Yeah.
It was like a blue and white stripe, long sleeve. I was pouring sweat, serving patio. And I quit after one shift because we were not allowed to transfer tables. And this couple wanted to watch the sunset. Mind you, I was 19. I was very young, immature, but it was a Friday night. They sat down at 2, stayed till 7, and I couldn't leave. And they had closed out, but until they left and I bust that table, I couldn't pay anyone. It was like a power trip thing.
Oh, fucking hate that.
And I was like, you will not take my 19-year-old summer away. And I don't regret it because looking back on it, I'm like, the money would have been gone anyways.
Yeah.
But, oh my God. Fine dining is a different level of service though.
It's a different level. But I could thrive because I loved like memorizing a menu. Like I enjoy talking about specials. The food. Oh, if we had foie gras in there, I'm like, let me tell you about the bone marrow jus sauce.
I can see you
like,
doing
I
it.
Love that shit. I like a sales.
Yeah.
I like a sales pitch. Okay. That is where I get off on that. So I enjoyed fine dining, but I was also like, let's loosen up a bit. You know what I mean? Like, let's be crazy at the table. I know you guys ordered caviar, but let's be wild, you know?
Well, they need that personality kind of in that environment because then people are probably seeking you out because you're the fun one.
I was the fun one. How was Olive Garden?
Oh, I loved it. But I was so young. My first server job ever.
Yeah.
My mom worked in restaurants her entire life. So I knew this schedule. I knew the cash. I knew like how, I don't know, the addiction of making that kind of money. But I loved Olive Garden. I met great friends there. After working in different restaurants, I realized how bad it was money-wise.
Right.
But at 18 years old, like you're making $350 on a Friday night. Like what's there to complain
about? Basically, you know, fucking Elon Musk.
Like, yeah, exactly.
That's insane.
Do it all again on a double on Saturday. Like you're good
for it. Doubles. People will never understand doubles. Doing a brunch double into like a Saturday night, like pre-theater rush dinner was like fucking insane.
Yeah, but this, you were doing it in New York,
I was doing it in New York.
That's the creme de la creme of serving.
It was. And I worked at a place where we would get people, it was like kind of close to the theater district. It wasn't like high fine dining. It was like middle ground, like, you know, real chef driven. And we would have these bitches come, like Bridge and Tunnel, come from Jersey, and they would want Cosmos, right? That's what they want before they're going to see Aladdin or, you know, the Lion King. The owner of this restaurant refused to have just cranberry juice. And everything had to be fresh squeezed, which, hey, I like the integrity of the fresh ingredients. And I'll never forget one day, I had 40 women from New Jersey screaming that they wanted Cosmos. And I only had like a a quarter of a pint of this, like, you know, it took me 6.5 hours to fucking press these cranberries. And I literally grabbed the owner of our restaurant by the throat and I go to the fucking bodega and get ocean spray or we're not going to make it. And he looked at me and he was like, yeah, whatever you want. Like I said, we're not like we're going up in flames. I can't make 55 fucking Cosmos with this fresh squeeze bullshit.
I've never even thought how you even squeeze a cranberry.
It's a nightmare. Okay. it shouldn't be happening. Just like you shouldn't milk a cat. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah. And a Cosmo is pretty like standard across the board. Like everyone's going to be serving Cosmos. If you can't have a stock of cranberry juice fresh squeezed, get the ocean spray.
If you're 10 blocks, we were 3 blocks from Times Square. If you're 10 blocks from Times Square, you should have ocean spray in the fucking fridge.
I actually grew up really close to the bogs of Ocean Spray.
Really?
And my dream is to get into one of those, like, have you seen those ads when they get in the, what are those, galoshes?
Yeah.
Sure. And I want to get right in those cranberry bogs. Yeah. Swim around a little bit.
Do you do a barefoot or you have boots on?
Oh, I'd have to be boots on.
Right. Oh, because what are they? They're like waiters.
Yeah, they're like a little waiter moment.
Yeah.
And then I'll just squeeze them by hand in there.
Oh, you squeeze them by hand.
I don't know. We'll have to figure it out.
I don't know. Should we go do that? Maybe it's like a little sensual.
I know. And I've like reached out and everything. I'm like, I'd love to come make a video here or do something.
Oh, you reached out. Ocean spray.
Ocean spray.
Is it Minute Maid or Ocean Spray? Is it the same thing?
Oh, I don't know. Ocean spray is definitely the one for cranberry.
Okay, great. Well, Ocean spray. Fucking call Zach. I mean, this is insane.
This is insane. Ocean spray.
So when did you finally get to quit the survival job and go straight into comedy, getting paid through comedy?
When I started getting ad money.
Yeah.
I do a lot of ads. I do. I'm very like lucky. I think I keep a lot of my comedy like on like the, I don't say it's like, it's not dirty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll throw a swear in here, but a lot of my content in general is pretty like safe. And brands love it. Brands love a skit.
They love a skit.
They love a man in a wig. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. So I've been really consistent booking like ad work on just the internet. So I think after booking a couple ads, I was nervous and everyone in my family didn't see this happening.
Right.
So they were like, well, just be safe, you know. And then now it's been almost 6 years. And
now like, they're like, can you take us on a cruise? Wait, no, you just got back from a cruise.
Yeah.
I grew up cruising. I cruised so fucking hard.
I took my friends on this cruise. It was the first thing I got to like take a group of people on and pay for the whole thing.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah. And I like, it wasn't like a braggy thing, but it was a cool moment for me to be like, no, come, don't worry about it. I got it. Just show up.
Yeah.
So it was exciting.
I mean, listen, when I first started to finally make a check, I'll never forget. My dad had died. I was back in Atlanta. I was trying to figure out life. And I literally had like, was on my hands and knees one night. I said, God, if you please bring me any sort of financial abundance, I will take care of everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank God. Because I was just like, my dad was gone. I was like, I got to take care of my family and figure this out.
And do you like it, right? I like to do that.
Oh, I love it. I've always been like, my love language is like the more the merrier. I like everybody together, like everybody having a good time. I mean, at the end of the day, like you can light this shit on fire. What is it worth? We're all gonna die tomorrow, you know?
You definitely have that work mentality where like, well, I'm gonna keep it moving.
Anyway. Yeah.
So it's like, it'll keep going.
But what a great feeling. So you got to take your friends on a cruise. And for somebody who loves character work, as I do, to me, a cruise is quintessential. It's peak sitting on the Lido deck and fucking people watching and seeing the creatures of the world interact.
It was unhinged this time too, because it was a big group of us that went, all my friends and stuff, and we drank and ate the entire time like assholes. It was so fun just to, I don't know, be in that environment, because cruise people, they're all over the place.
Everywhere.
It's not just old people. It's, but everybody has this energy of like, I know they're feral. They're creepy people.
Yeah.
People get freaky. We were constantly looking for pineapples upside down on doors.
Okay. Can I tell you something? I recently got on that side of TikTok of the cruise swingers.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
You know, I was thinking about it. Swingers are like, what would you do if you're in a swinger situation and somebody really ugly, like, is at the, you know, at the precipice of your door? Like, what do? You're banging, you're in an orgy, there's four people in the bunk, and then somebody comes in and they're like a real uggo. Like, how do you, I think I need to interview a swinger to understand the lifestyle, because how do you communicate that? Like, all right, Charlie, you know, we're good.
I think in that situation, you just have to be so honest and
look
them right in the face and be like, you know what?
I'm not feeling it.
I'm simply not feeling this at all.
Right.
So just keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
So one of my friends, we believe was approached by a swinger.
Yeah.
On the cruise, because it was just, there was a lot of signs. It was the compliment of the tattoo in the back, compliment the hair, a lot of compliments, a graze of the arm. And then she was like, oh, we're going to go watch her man at the time do that. Like, you know, like the surfing machine
things? Yeah.
So we're like, oh, and he's going to do that. So then she's like, oh, I'll see you over there. And then she brings her husband over and they're pointing at him. And then they're whispering, looking back and forth at them. And then they're like, wait, are you guys sizing each other up right now? What's happening? But it's like, you're stuck on this boat for 7 days. There's nothing going on.
Right.
So this is what's going on at the moment. So we're getting drinks. We're all talking about it. It like, it added a whole storyline for the day. It was like, where's the swinger
couple?
Well,
it's like camp drama, right? Yeah. Like when you went to camp, it was like, you had your camp family. It's like restaurants. So you have the restaurant drama. There's so much fucking drama at a restaurant. There's a million different soap operas that everyone's telling. So when you're on a cruise and you're in international waters, you're stuck with 2,000 people, you're like, let's tell the fucking story of the day.
It was such a fun trip. No one fought. Me and my best friend actually fought at the airport right before we left.
Oh.
A big blowout.
Okay, before you left to go on the cruise or when you left
before I left to go home.
What happened?
She heard about her? She was having a moment. She gets really stressed in the airport. It's okay. I was stressed. We were all exhausted from drinking and she kept blowing up on people. And then I blew up her at the Orlando airport of all places.
What can I tell you? The Orlando airport is, you think it'd be magical. It's actually the seventh layer of hell.
It is.
Orlando airport needs to figure this shit out.
It's from it feels like it's 1992 in there at all times. There's crying kids, there's strollers everywhere. People are fighting. Their TSA area, it's like everyone's in the middle, just going to the same, like, I don't know, different gates.
And there's also a hotel. So when you're going through TSA and there's a hotel and so like people are like fornicating in the windows and you're like, you feel like you're in a terrarium. It's fucking hot. It's sweaty. Everybody's got their Disney gear on. You're like, what the fuck is happening? They do have an Outback though. I'm pretty sure.
They do have an Outback. In the Delta Terminal, they have an Outback. They do. It's funny. You were just talking about like the windows. I forgot to tell you on the cruise, there was a woman inside the middle of this Royal Caribbean cruise.
Yeah.
Not at Royal. They have like balconies that are inside.
Right.
So there was a woman, I'm not joking,
what?
Pantsless, legs up in the middle of the night. Like, well, like drinking and everything, but like you could see, like she was too far up to get detail of the body, but I could tell that she wasn't wearing pants, there was no thong, and that's what she was doing, reading a book. I think it's like that voyeuristic kind of like thing going on.
When people ask like, where's the craziest place you've had sex? I'm like, my room. I have never had this thrill of like, man, I want to get fucked in a porta potty or on the 50-yard line. Like, I don't know, again, what that says about me, but I don't have this like urge to have sex like out in public.
Yeah, no, I don't think I do either. When I was younger, I was a little bit more crazy, but now I don't need a charge on me, okay?
I don't need a charge, like, okay?
How are you going to get your way out of that one?
Yeah, and nobody wants to see me and my husband, you know, doing it in Times Square.
You'd be surprised.
I don't know. I do think if maybe I put out a sex tape, like, you know, I might get a couple more male followers. But.
Anytime a celebrity drops a sex tape, I watch it. I'm just a curious cat. I'm a curious little kitty.
Yeah.
And I gotta watch.
You want to see some famous kitties?
I just got to see a couple famous kitties. And it's just for scientific reasons.
I will say I watched the Pamela and Tommy.
Yeah.
I watched theirs and I was like, it's beautiful. It was lovemaking. They were very in love.
Love.
Hello, my Absolutely Not listeners. It's your girl, Heather, and this episode is proudly brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair is so iconic, it needs no introduction. Listen, okay, being in the biz, you get it and I get it. We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, aging, the list goes on. And over time, it takes a toll. And honestly, Jen got tired of the damage and the struggle of having to choose between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. So instead of mixing this cream with that serum, she decided to bottle something of her own by diving into the science of it all while using naturally derived plant-based ingredients, which, hey, we love. Speaking of Jen, you may have heard some recent buzz about how good she smells. And I'm going to tell you this right now. We're here to fill you in on her scent secret. Okay, spoiler alert, it starts with Lola V. And there's a treat for you. Our awesome listeners for a limited time can get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at lolav.com. Let me spell that out for you. LOLAVIE.com. Again, you're getting 15% off your entire order at lolav.com. Just use code absolutely at checkout. And I mean, hey, if you're taking hair care advice, why not listen to anyone besides the woman who gave us the Rachel? All right. I mean, she is the queen of the queen. Unlock Jennifer Aniston's approved hair at lolav.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get 15% off your entire order when you use code absolutely at checkout. That's 15% off your order at lolav, LOLAVIE.com with promo code absolutely. Please note that you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. And after your purchase, they'll ask where you heard it from. Please support our show and let them know I sent you. Your hair will thank you. When it comes to having healthy habits for my pets, I always choose Farmer's Dog. Y'all, I really genuinely love Farmer's Dog. It's so easy. My dogs literally lose their damn minds for it. It's delicious for them, healthy. We're in. We're 100% a Farmer's Dog family. Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food right to your door. It's developed by vets, nutritionally balanced, and made from real meat and veggies to the safety standards of human food. And it's the best option for dogs of all stages of life because it's not kibble. It's not canned goo. It's just real healthy food. The biggest thing for me that really turned me on to Farmer's Dog is my vet suggested it. She loved it. It was vet approved. And honestly, for two Frenchies that should have a mound of issues, other than their attitude, they come in and the vet always says, hey, their skin looks great. Their overall weight is maintained. And here's the thing. A lot of people don't realize if you're not maintaining a healthy weight for your dog, well, then you're cutting their life expectancy short. I love it. Listen, you can get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/absolutely. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to thefarmersdog.com/absolutely to get 50% off. That's thefarmersdog.com/absolutely. Again, you can customize the order for your pets. Maybe your pet has allergies or your pet prefers one sort of protein over the other. You can customize all that. They send the food directly to your door. You just defrost it overnight, leave it on the counter, leave it in the fridge, and then the next morning the dogs will go nuts for it. Again, all you got to do is just go to thefarmersdog.com/absolutely to get 50% off. You're going to want to try this. Your dogs are going to love you for it.
So I'm currently watching Real Housewives of New Jersey for the first time.
Okay.
Do you watch?
I watch, of course.
It is actually so good. It is so incredible. It's Danielle season two. Oh, fuck. This is like the craziest show I've ever seen in my entire life. The storylines are insane. Ashley's pulling her hair. Everyone's screaming. But at one point, they mentioned that Danielle had a sex tape.
Yeah.
And I got to watch that. Yeah. I got to add it to my list.
Wait, so you've seen the Danielle sex tape?
Well, I didn't watch the whole thing. It was quite long.
Okay. And how was it?
It was her.
It was her.
It was her.
She's
living her life.
Living her life.
I think I'm ready for my sex tape.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually so scared of that. I was a little bit of a hoe for a long time. And we were just talking about this at dinner last night. I was like, if you send a nude, someone kept that.
Yeah.
It is out there.
I think the nudes that I'm most afraid of are living on somebody's BlackBerry. And I don't know how grainy they would be, but I mean, in college, I would send them all the time. And the guy that I was dating at the time, he was like a big hunter. So he'd sit up in a hunting.
That's hot.
No, it's not hot. He was not hot either. No, he would go hunting and then he would sit up in like his hunting camp in the woods.
Things.
And I'd send him nudes on my BlackBerry Messenger, and I'm terrified that those will hit the internet one day.
He's like, you're like, keep me company.
Yeah,
up there.
Yeah. Well, because he's bored. He's sitting around,
I know,
jerking off in a deer stand somewhere in the woods.
That's it. I love going to Bass Pro Shop, and I'm like, look at those deer. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm the gayest I've ever been in my life at a Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah.
I get weird in there. I'm like putting on the merch, looking around. I'm like, look at this boat. Look at this deer stand. I'm not doing any of this. I don't even know how to use any of this.
Yeah. You just want to be covered in, like, you know, the blood and urine of a deer.
I actually had a really great Cabela, like, little parka from there. And it definitely was made for an outdoorsy person, but I love to wear it on the subway.
I recently had to become an outdoor girly when I went to New Zealand. It was freezing, and we bought all this shit in the Patagonia store. And I, like, kind of, like, was leaning into it really hard. I felt, like, very sexy. I was like, am I, like, a hot Patagonia girly? I felt it.
You have to lean into the character, that kind of
thing. Yeah, you really do. Oh, that's so cool. Okay, so you moved to Brooklyn recently.
Yes.
How long have you been with your boyfriend?
4 years.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. We met on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
And it was
Tell
before
me about
I
this.
Was doing anything, really. It was like it was at the very beginning of the pandemic. He was liking my pictures on the Explore page. I was like, first of all, message me. You're being weird.
Yeah.
So then I messaged him aggressively. I'm like, don't ever like my pictures without messaging me. And he was like, stop attacking me. And I was like, how are you? And it just worked because my entire life, been very distracted by men.
Yeah.
I like the male gaze. I really do.
Yeah.
So like, I knew that at that point I was like really trying to like get this all going like it is now. So I was like, you're in Philly. I love that. I'm in Massachusetts. Let's just keep this at arm's length. And then he came in the summer and visited me. We kept visiting each other. And then over like a year and a half, we're like, let's move to New York together. We both want to do content full time, which we do.
Yeah.
And then it's been the perfect kind of meeting ground.
I love that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So what's going on with you now? What is the next step? What's on the horizon?
Yeah. So I've been doing a lot of the same thing for a long time. It's been like 5 years. And I have like a team that are super supportive. I've been standing in my own way. I have a really big fear of failure. I've done some things in person and I've always been like really, I get such incredible stage fright sometimes.
Let's break this down.
Yeah.
Let's break this down. I'm so excited. I'm leaning back in my chair for this therapy session. Let's
talk about like my most traumatic moment ever.
Yeah, break it down.
So I did the Drew Barrymore show twice.
Mm-hmm.
First time, it was my first time ever doing something that big. And I thought it went really well for my first time. And then I got a call 5 weeks later to do it again because they were like, oh, can you do more like food gadget stuff? And I was so excited to do it again. I was like, this is like the trajectory I'm trying to go on. And I go and I, it was the most chaotic moment of my life. I felt like I was actually dying on stage.
Okay.
It was me with the cast of another show that I forget. It was like a reboot of an old show from like the 60s or whatever. And it's Drew and I'm doing these food demos and they're having me demo three different machines at the same time. I have the popcorn literally burning. I go to do the onion cutter thing, like the Bloomin' Onion thing. The onion falls onto Drew.
Uh-huh.
And I just remember the entire thing being so, I felt like I couldn't even catch my own breath the entire time.
Yeah.
And when it finally aired, they added a laugh track. And that wasn't real. And I knew it wasn't real. And they saved it. But I just left that. And I was like, oh my God, I hate this unknown of not being able to edit myself.
Yeah.
And it like crushed my like self-esteem for a very long time to want to even step out and do that again.
Really?
So then I got signed to like an agency and they were like, oh, like the natural progression of having this many followers to doing live shows, you do comedy, why don't you want to do it? And I was always very hesitant.
Yeah.
They were like trying to keep me at my own pace. Then I just did an improv class at the UCB.
The best.
Just to get out of my own head a little bit.
Yeah.
And I like unclicked the fear of not landing a joke every time to me is starting to subside. Yeah. I hate that feeling of like that moment when I was in front of everybody and no one felt safe.
I hear you. Yeah.
And I don't want to, I hate the person that everyone's supposed to be entertained by and they don't feel safe. And that's my biggest mental block that I'm trying to get over.
Here's the thing. They felt safe. They felt, well, I don't know. You had an onion cutter. So maybe they actually did not feel physically safe.
Blades.
But here's the thing. They felt safe. So much. This is going to come with repetition. Okay. Let me be your wise old aunt right now.
No, I want it.
This
please.
Will come with so much repetition. You will bomb, you will have great days, you'll have bad days, and that is a part of the fucking gig. So you have to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. Let me tell you, I've been working my ass off the last couple of years, but there's still nights where I'm trying out new shit and it's not gonna work. It's like, you just have to be able to sit in that awkwardness. And they're gonna ask you back, because you're phenomenal. Everybody has an off day, like it is what it is. But I'll tell you with the live shows, with stand-up, with any of this shit, you're gonna have to be uncomfortable, point blank period. But that's the best part. Because when you come off stage and it did go well, you're like, fuck yeah, I can do that again. 90% of it is the fear of even showing up.
Yeah.
I always just say, show the fuck up. I get so angry at my other friends. I'm like, just show up, do it. If it goes bad, it went bad, but you fucking did it. Yeah. And you got that experience done. Just fucking do it. Literally in the words of Nike, just fucking do it. You know, don't stop yourself. So many people getting in their way before they even try something.
And that's what I feel like I'm doing right now. So we booked the date. Can't announce anything yet, but it's going to be in June, which will be exciting. And I have a bunch of material written. And that's the thing is I have such like a constant stream of material that I want to perform and do.
Of course.
And I love doing character work, which I think is going to be a big part of the show. And I just told everybody on my team, I was like, just book it because I can't make up these excuses to why not to do it.
Exactly.
Anymore.
And they're going to book it. And then you're going to be 2 weeks out and you're going to literally have a panic attack in Times Square. Right, and you're going to be running around and then you'll probably like run into the, you know, the M&M store and like steal some shit just to get that high. And then you're
like,
all right, now I'm going to go lock myself in my apartment for 2 days and write the show.
I'm going to shit myself 100 times backstage.
I mean, I still get really bad diarrhea before big shows. And it's just like, I get bubble guts. Like people are like, do you eat healthy on the road? I'm like, no, I am wolfing down comfort food. It's like pizza, chicken tender, some bullshit that I know I can just keep down.
Mm.
But regardless, after you get done with that show in June, you're gonna be like, I am so fucking glad I did it.
I'm hoping. And I really think so. And that's where I wanna continue to do this. And that just seems like the logical next step. And people keep asking me to do it. So it's happening finally.
What's like the 5-year dream goal? Cause I really believe in like an oral manifestation on the show.
The 5-year dream goal would be to be doing live shows. Mm-hmm. Like to be like touring.
Would you ever want to though, like host, like you'd be so good on morning television or like kind of like a Drew Barrymore or Kelly Clarkson, like being a host in that space, you would fucking crush.
Yeah, I would definitely do it. I don't love celebrity gossip stuff as much. I feel like I get stressed by that because I don't know, even the stuff I say in the podcast, I'm like, this is going to live forever.
Yeah.
It's going to bite me in the ass. But the light stuff, like I love Drew. I mean, I love Drew, you know, so I think that would be really cool. I'm not in a rush at the moment. I feel like, so I'm 29 and I feel like I like the pace everything's going now.
Yeah.
And it felt like when I was watching TV growing up, it was like, if you weren't famous by the time you were 22, it was done.
Yeah.
And now it's like, it just, you can just keep doing your thing.
No, you keep doing your thing. Keep creating the content. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is going to be fantastic. You're doing the live shows.
Thank you.
I want to see it. I think it'll be fucking hysterical. You're absolutely going to crush and just go out there and you're going to be so glad when the show is over. Like, I was so nervous to do this thing at MSG and I was like, I don't know why I fucking did Radio City. Why am I nervous? It was just because I didn't know the other guys in the lineup. Felt like I had to prove something. We always have to prove something. But the only person that you have to prove shit to is yourself. Like, so when we get in our own way about shit, it's so frustrating. It's like, I'm the one who's, you know, interfering with me having any success. Like, I just got to go out there and do it. And then you're done and you're like, yeah, that was fucking great. Why was I nervous about this shit?
So like 5 minutes before you get out on stage, like, what does that look like? How are you like, because sometimes I feel like I've done some live stuff like this, like the past year, like helping friends out. And I feel like I need that like time to, like when I'm on stage, the first couple of minutes, I'm like up here.
Yeah.
And then I settle.
Yeah.
Is there a way to like, do you have a way that you kind of like settle yourself before you even go out there? Or do you always kind of feel that rush?
No, I mean, I get excited and I have to, well, because I'm 37 and I have a horrible fucking back, I'm like backstage doing like a full physical warm up. Okay. So I don't injure myself. But when I come out on stage, I get really grounded. Like I like to, because you're amped up, you know, you come out with high energy and then I have to find places to be very grounded. And like, I'll do crowd work. I'll just chit chat with people like, and then I'll get into my material. Like you have to settle. But I also, you'll learn this the hard way, but don't let people steal your energy and your joy before you go perform for people. Like, don't have a bunch of people backstage. Just you do you.
I was hearing you say that, and I thought that was a really smart thing to say. Like, party after.
Party after.
Don't talk to me before I do this.
And maybe you like to, like, expel that energy. But for me, I have to kind of, like own my energy.
I think I'm like that, too.
Yeah. Just have people respect your space. You'll have 15 agents backstage that want to be, like, doing this. You'll be like, hey, guys, I need to prepare. And then after the show, we can talk about all the bullshit you want to. Mm. But you got to, like, set boundaries and like respect your own space.
I love
because if you're going to give energy to the audience, you can't be back there like schmoozing with fucking managers and shit. You know what I mean? Like there were times where I'm literally like having a heart to heart with the security guard. And I'm like, we can do this after the show. I've got to like get in my zone.
Lock and load.
Lock and fucking load. Now, when you were on the Drew Barrymore show, do you think you were actually having a panic attack or like in that moment?
It was so surreal. Cause it was like a domino of, cause I was demoing three different vintage products at the exact same time and one's burning. And then Drew is such an interesting woman. The first time I ever did her show, she looked at me and it was another demo kind of thing. It was me, her and Vanessa Hudgens. Mm. And she looks at me and the cameras are going like 10, 9. She looks at me and she goes, you're driving this. And we're back. And it's like, she would like want me to like continue to keep, she would kind of, I don't know, schmooze and do her bits and stuff. And then I kind of have to redirect. So I was so anxious to cut her off, but then to like, move on. Yeah. And I was just like, at the end of the day, no one gives a fuck what I'm cooking. They just want to laugh.
Yeah.
And I was so stuck in this, like, I have to be perfect. The meals have to be perfect.
Yeah.
And there was just too much going on at once. But yeah, no, I did feel like a panic attack was happening.
Live TV, though, is fucking gnarly. People don't get it. Like when I did the Today Show and Coast for the first time, I'm like, I'd never read a teleprompter. And they're just like, and to camera, and you got some producer talking in your ear, and you're like, I'm now reading a teleprompter. And I'm like, back to you in the station for weather. I was like, what is happening?
Like, did you like it though?
I loved it.
Yeah.
But now I love live TV. Like live TV is fucking great. When you get in the zone and you get it, you're like, all right, I'm cooking. I like anything live though, because you know, like we could edit this, chop this up, make us look thin, all the shit. But when you're on stage, there's something about, you're in that moment and you have to be like present in it. I think, I don't know, makes me hot. I live for it.
I think that the whole idea too that I'm looking to do with comedy right now and stand up, it's just the reps. It's just to keep doing it. Because at the end of the day, I love making people laugh. It's like my biggest joy in life.
Yeah.
If I can make people smile, I'm obsessed with it. So I just want to keep doing that. And I love the internet. I'm always going to live there. I think that's a part of like my generation and just where I started. So I never want to walk away from that. But I want to get in front of people too and meet people. And enjoy that whole process.
Fuck it. You're going to crush it. Whatever you do. I'm like, I'm 110% behind you. I think you're
the blueprint.
Talented.
You're doing it.
No, I'm just now I'm like, you know, I'm like smoking my menthol being like, I remember when I used to serve tables. Zach, don't you forget it. Zachariah. I think once I turned 37 this year, I just started to look in the mirror and I just feel it. I was feeling the age. I was feeling that I didn't have skin elasticity and that I saw more wrinkles on my face, which isn't a bad thing, but damn it, I want to look fresh. So I am glad that I found OneSkin. They sent me a big package and I was like, all right, is this kind of bullshit? Is this going to work? And damn it, if their eye cream isn't the best thing I've ever used. I'm going to tell you this right now. Here's the thing. Treating the symptoms rather than the root causes of aging has long been the norm. Most skincare available on the market is designed to provide a temporary reduction in visible signs of aging, addressing just the surface symptoms of underlying decline in skin health. But here's the thing. OneSkin, leveraging their in-house cutting-edge R&D platform, they were able to measure the efficacy of age reversal molecules in their lab. By staining skin samples in the lab for cells and analyzing changes to the skin's genetic data before and after exposure to the OS-01 peptide. OneSkin scientists found that the OS-01 peptide reverses skin's biological age by reducing the number of senescent cells by up to 50%. That's insane. OneSkin is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code absolutely at oneskin.co. That's 15% off at oneskin.co and use code absolutely. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please show support for our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine and invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. I love it. The eye cream is the next level. The regular skin cream is insane, but their stuff is just next level, and you're going to love it too. Again, that's oneskin.co. Listen, taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. That's why for the last, 4 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day. No exceptions, just one scoop, mix it in water once a day, every day. And it makes me just feel energized, focused, keeps me regular. It's just a no-brainer. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that is also just powerfully simple. I got so sick and tired of carrying around 8 jingle-jangle bags of friggin' loose pills. Well, with one scoop of AG1, I'm getting 75 whole vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients straight out of a little baggie. I take my little to-go AG1, or if I'm going somewhere for a while, I take a full bag. One scoop every day, or one little travel pack in some water, shake it up, easy, wolf it down. It's actually really delicious, and I feel energized, okay? I am so sick of seeing everybody as like the pill lady with the pills, the loose things in their purse, when all you need to supplement your life is just, hey, one scoop. I love it, okay? And so if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2, which is an absolute game changer. And 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/absolutely. That's drinkag1.com/absolutely. Check it out. You're going to thank me later. I really love AG1. My husband's obsessed with it. My mom takes it. The whole family freaking takes it. AG1 is the freaking best. Again, all you got to do is go to drinkag1.com/absolutely. Now back to the podcast. So is there anybody in the industry, like in doing these live TV gigs and stuff, that you've met that you've loved?
A couple people, and they're all in reality TV, which is really so funny. I just did a podcast thing with SiriusXM with Teresa Caputo.
Oh my God. Let me tell you, when I'm on tour, it's literally I do a show and then Teresa Caputo is the next day. I'm dying to overlap, but I know she's literally gonna be like, I'm seeing a large, fat Southern man. Did somebody die? And I'm like, it's my daddy. Like, I'm waiting for her to tell me that my dad is coming through, you know?
We were doing the show and my boyfriend's grandmother came through while we were doing it. And she's talking to me. We're riffing on like hair or whatever, the wigs. And she's like looking at me and then she's looking at my boyfriend, like breaking eye contact. And she's like, I'm sorry, have to do this right now. And we're recording and it was incredible.
So I gotta be honest with you. It's 100% real. What happens in that moment?
So Jonathan, my boyfriend, got really like, he was not prepared for it.
Yeah.
And he was almost like stoic in it. And he felt guilty that his responses weren't more of like a showy thing. I'm like, no, you were being real. And like, she wasn't offended by the whole thing.
Right.
And it was all about his grandmother. And there was a very specific things like the sauce pot that his mom has. And she referred to him as this little flower or this shy flower. And he has a tattoo of his grandmother, Rose, dedicated to her because her name is Rose, and it's a rose on his sleeve. And it was very healing because his family's going through a lot right now. And it was very specific.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Wow.
And it was funny because I wanted to do the mom character with her because she follows me. And I was like, can we do it? And you do a fake reading for Gigi, this like grandmother character. And she's like, I can't do that because it takes away from the integrity of what I actually do. And she's like,
good point.
She's like, I could do a reading with you in the wig and it could be you. And I'm like, well, now we're just like, this isn't what we should be doing.
Yeah, so, now
like,
we're cosplay. Yeah.
But I really appreciated her, like, I don't know. She's like, no, this is real, you know? Wow. And I believe it. I really do.
I'm dying to meet her. I'm really dying to meet her. I want to see the hair. I want to see the tan. I want to see the nails. Like, I want to see all of it in person.
She came in a Versace, like, yellow, like, wrap dress.
Yes,
with these,
bitch. Yes, bitch.
Like, I would say, like, they were, like, hip-high boots.
Uh-huh.
Like, they were, like, yeah, all leg. And she's got to be, like, 5 foot nothing. Hair, like, she is the long, she's the Long Island Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
She really is. But salt of the earth, so sweet, so great. I loved her. And then I'm a huge fan of Jersey Shore. And yeah. I got to work with them and like meet the girls on that show. And for me, being like a little gay boy, 13 years old, watching that, being like obsessed with this. And then to like them be like, hi, Zachariah. It's like, it really like freaks me out that they like, I'm on a first name basis with them now. So
I watched Mike the Situation. I watched his like tell all when he was talking about when he was going through drugs and everything and like his rock bottom. I was shocked at that shit.
Yeah.
Like he has really been through it. I mean, he's has a beautiful life now. Like,
but went through hell.
But went through hell.
Yeah.
It was really wild. Okay. I love that you met the Long Island medium. I love that you're hanging out the Jersey Shore.
So
I mean,
cool.
the Kardashians are next. Like you got to make it happen.
I would love that so much. Yeah. That would be awesome.
All right. So you live in a Bed-Stuy, you're with your boyfriend, you're making content. Do you find that like Instagram versus TikTok, like do you find that you have different audiences on different platforms?
No, I'm always 89% women.
Yeah.
And they're always
honey, same.
25 to 45.
Yep.
That's my bread and butter.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I love it. Those are my girls. I make content for women. I my life is all women.
You know yeah.
I mean? I'm very comfortable with that. Or the gay men, but it's funny. Me and my boyfriend have a podcast and we'll always make jokes like, who are the straight men listening?
Yeah.
And then do you ever get that? Do you ever get like a couple of straight guys listening?
Oh, I have the husbands come out to the shows and then they're like, wait, this is fucking great. And then they start listening to the podcast and they're the ones in the airport who are like, tiramisu, bitch. Like they say, they're like, I love it. Yeah. Oh yeah. And I always tell guys, listen to the podcast that your wives or girlfriends are listening to so you're clued in on what they're upset about.
I know.
Do your fucking research.
I got to give them some more credit though because I always assume they're not going to like it, which I don't know. Like me and my friend, we're very gay, right?
Yeah.
It's very silly and I always think like, why would they ever want to listen? But
yeah.
I'm always very flattered, which I shouldn't be, but like I am flattered when I get like a straight man to think that I'm funny. Which I think is weird.
It's this weird, sick, patriarchal, like sign of approval, seal of approval. But I get it. I really do get it. I'll tell you what, though. There's nothing better. My husband is so comfortable around the gays, in the gays. Watching him sit in his little Brooks Brothers cashmere sweater yesterday at the duplex while the fog machine was just overtaking him. Like, everybody was like, where's Jeff? And my husband was just on gummies, on edibles, sitting in the corner, drinking his club soda. And you would just like lose him behind the fog at this gay bar. And then he would reemerge and I'd be like, you good? And he's like, I love watching you have fun. Like being around a supportive hetero man, there's nothing hotter. There really isn't.
There isn't. Cause it's like, you're just so secure in yourself. This isn't some sort of competition. At this point.
Were you always out? Were you always just like, you know, gay Zachariah?
Oh my God. So I grew up really religious.
Really?
Yeah, I did. So I think it would have come out a little earlier. He came out like 16. But yeah, I was always really feminine. You couldn't really hide it from me. Always been friends with the girls. But
always got the tap shoes on.
Yeah.
Ready to razzle dazzle.
I always wanted my parents to put me in television.
Yeah.
And they never would. And I'll never forget taking my social security card and signing up for some agent at like 10 years old. That was like a Disney Channel affiliate. No idea where that was.
Yeah.
Think I still have a credit score. But yeah, no, I've always been very theatrical, very dramatic. And I
honestly, good thing you didn't make money as a child star. Cause if your parents aren't like financially literate, like they may have spent it all. I just saw a video on Instagram, Honey Boo Boo, right? Iconic Honey Boo Boo screaming at her mom being like, where is all my Honey Boo Boo money? I was the star. Why didn't you put it into like the Roth IRA and the bank account? Her mom has spent all of her fucking money and she has no money. Honey Boo Boo has no money.
And it was her that launched the show.
It was her. And then Mama June's sitting there with $200,000, brand new teeth and her face done. And she's licking her chops and she's like, I'm sorry, Alana, I'm sorry. And you're like, Honey Boo Boo's fucking broke. And I'm devastated for her.
Yeah, it's not going to cut it. And then we have all those like, the new news about like the Nickelodeon stuff. Like it was not, it's all makes sense to not be a child actor.
Listen, God's rejection is protection. Okay. The world's rejection is God's protection. That's what I say.
Seriously.
I mean, my mom's opened a credit union account for me and would put money in there all the time. Like the money from the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, whatever. And I recently found out that I had this account and there's not any money in it. My mom has been taking money out of it. So she would steal my Tooth Fairy money, put it in an account for me later, and then would spend that money.
Yeah, that's robbery.
So actually, my mom's the biggest fucking robber in the world.
Oh, that's
yeah.
so funny.
Yeah, but she's from Boston. That's why. She's a Massachusetts girl. Like,
she is. It,
they're hustlers. It's a whole nother level of like being a scammer.
Yeah, it's you're cold and you have to you run hard and angry.
Where'd you grow up in Massachusetts?
I'm in New Bedford.
Oh, Dartmouth New Bedford. Area.
Yeah, yeah. Like, kind of towards the Cape, but like mm-hmm. not like the nice Cape. It's,
yeah.
It's, I like it there. I do.
I love that. Yeah. Where, okay, you see yourself in 10 years, you've become this huge success. Where are you retiring?
Massachusetts.
Really?
Back home, yeah.
Okay.
I think flights are not hard. You're in Atlanta. You're yeah. not in New York or LA. Atlanta's
right.
a huge city, obviously, but it's like, I feel like you get on a plane and you go.
You go.
You go to work,
I'm always on the fucking go.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is.
But do you like having that home base there to like...
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, my story is not very... It's weird. I moved into my childhood home. My husband and I live with my mom. Like, it's a whole thing, but it's great. It's chaotic for everybody else around us, but I'm like... I fucking love it, you know?
Yeah.
Where I'm retiring is probably the Turks and Caicos or Italy. Like, I'm talking like, you know.
I know you love Italy.
Yeah, I'm trying to like live on the Med. That's what I would like to do. But yeah, I love Atlanta. It's great. And here's the thing. You got a great sense about you. Like, you're just grounded. You don't have to be in fucking Manhattan. You don't have to be in LA to be successful. You're making your shit on the internet. You're doing it. Then you go to the live shows and you're going to crush.
And then you're touring anyway. So what does it matter?
You're touring anyways. You're really honestly going to spend 90% of your time in a Delta Sky Club in like the Cincinnati airport and just lean in. Lean all the way fucking in.
Speaking of the Delta Sky Clubs, once yeah. again, the Orlando airport one. So disappointing.
I know. It's old. They got to redo it.
The whole airport yeah. is awful.
Listen, I'll tell you, when you start making real money, you're going to spend your first check on getting a PS reserve. Okay, it's a private suite reserve. If it opens, they're about to open one at JFK, and that's where you're gonna spend your money. So you never have to step foot in the airport again. Because it's either you do private jet money or you have your own like FBO that you go to where you don't ever have to step foot in the airport. That's fucking working smarter, not harder.
Yeah, and this is the first time I've ever hearing this as an option. Yeah.
Yes, it's an option. They're in Atlanta and LA. So when I go back and forth to Atlanta and LA, I haven't stepped foot in the real airport in like a minute, like 6 months. I'm like, I've gotten such a taste of the good life. I'm like, don't take this away. Take away my home. Like, I will live out of my car, but do not take away my PS reserve.
I love it.
It's the best. So, okay, where can everybody find you? I love you. I could keep you here all day and just pepper you with more fucking shit. But I just adore you. And thank you for just being so fucking great and so funny. And whatever you're doing, I am 110% behind.
Thank
so
you.
So tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, thank you for having me because oh I've just course. Been the biggest fan ever. So this is like insane to me. So I'm Zizi Zachariah on TikTok, Zachariah Porter on Instagram. And then I have a podcast called Camp Counselors Podcast with my friend Jonathan. So wherever to search Zachariah, you'll see something.
And when's the announcement for the live show?
2 weeks.
Hell yeah. You're going to sell out. I love it. Everybody, love you. Mean it. Thanks for tuning in. I'm sorry we're so raspy today and we're sweating through our t-shirts. But we love you. We miss you. And we'll see you on the next episode. Ciao, Bella. Arrivederci. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. And as always, follow me on Instagram at Heather K. McMahon. See you guys soon.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.